LBC News Talk 97.3. News.
Good morning, it's 8 o'clock. This is Jonathan Staples. In this bulletin, plans for an Ulster Peace Forum are revealed by the Irish Premier. The Guildford-Waterloo line remains closed after two IRA bombs. And universities rethink guidelines following the King's College date rape case. Premier Albert Reynolds is to face the Irish Parliament today to spell out details of a proposal for a peace forum. Opposition parties are complaining they haven't been briefed on the forum, hinted at in the joint declaration by John Major and Albert Reynolds. It would be set up at the end of January, providing the IRA, which has yet to respond to the declaration, renounces violence. Shadow Northern Ireland Secretary Kevin McNamara has told LBC he's hopeful despite the IRA's delay.
I would have been very concerned if in fact there'd been an outright rejection. Obviously we all would have been, and equally I think a bit suspicious as if they'd grasped it immediately to their bosom. I mean, there is a lot in it that needs to be very carefully examined from their position, because they're being asked to do from their position a great number of things.
This morning, police are resuming their search for further bombs along the main line from Guildford. It follows a double IRA attack yesterday near Brookwood Station. Army bomb disposal experts were called. No one was hurt. The line between Woking, Farnborough and Ashvale will remain shut until at least midday, causing long delays for thousands of commuters. The appeal court will today give judgment on two landmark cases of causing death by careless drink driving. The Attorney General has called for tougher sentences on 29-year-old student Peter Shepherd of Enfield and 27-year-old Robert Wernert of Oxford. Shepherd was fined £250. Wernert was jailed for 9 months. The maximum penalty is 5 years in jail. The King's College date rape case has prompted a task force of senior university dons to draw up new guidelines on disciplinary hearings. It follows the case of King's College student Austin Donnellan, who was cleared by the Old Bailey of raping a fellow undergraduate. Havovi Todd reports.
During his trial, Mr. Donnellan accused the college authorities of not giving him a fair hearing and trying to deal with the rape allegation without calling in the police. The task force of vice-chancellors and principals will consider which matters can be dealt with internally. But its chairman, Professor Graham Zellick, a law specialist and principal of Queen Mary College London, says it would be wrong for universities to wash their hands of criminal offences. The group will also review guidance on allegations of sexual and racial harassment involving staff.
London's Fire and Civil Defence Authority is investigating the increased threat of arson attacks on schools in the capital. It's given all-party backing for measures drawn up by the Liberal Democrats. Last year, there were 1,000 such attacks in Britain, causing £300 million worth of damage. LBC News Time, 3 minutes past eight. The funeral is being held in North London today for Jamaican woman Joy Gardner, who collapsed when police and immigration officials tried to deport her. MPs and scores of relatives and friends will attend the service at the New Testament Church of God in Wood Green. Three police officers have been suspended since trying to deport Mrs. Gardner from her home in Hornsey in July. The Reverend Eric Brown has told LBC the local community is still angered by her death.
Every decent person, whether they be black or white or whatever colour, race or creed, in a way has been outraged by what has happened to her, and I'm sure that the congregation will reflect that kind of solidarity.
ITV is to broadcast a peak time apology over rude remarks by the entertainer Julian Clary during the British Comedy Awards. Millions of viewers heard him make a sexually explicit joke about the former Chancellor Norman Lamont during the live show last weekend. Programme maker LWT has been told off by the Independent Television Commission, which says the incident was wholly unacceptable. New research shows that Friday the 13th definitely is unlucky, especially for drivers. A study carried out in London shows the number of people admitted to hospital after road accidents on Friday the 13th is 50% higher than on other Fridays. Dr. Tom Scanlon says there has to be a logical explanation.
Is it a spooky thing? Is Friday the 13th more unlucky? Or is it a chance finding? Or is it, as we as a group tend to believe, perhaps as a group of people who are a bit overcautious and a bit worried, and who are taking too many precautions while they're driving, and in that respect, it becomes self-fulfilling.
Financial news now. Trading is underway in the pre-market in London. Here's Robin Amlow.
And in company news, Reuters is paying £83 million, $125 million in cash to buy Technecron software systems of Palo Alto in California. The company's a leading supplier of digital trading systems, which will complement Reuters' own trading screens. Company's reporting results led by Asda. Profits here towards the top end of expectations at the interim stage, £83.9 million before exceptional items. The dividend goes up 10%, Asda's performance described by the chairman as robust. The company has sold the Maples unit of its allied Maples Group to a management buyout backed by Cinven Venture Capitalists. The latest of the regional electricity companies to report results, Manweb shows profits up 48% at £54.9 million. They put the dividend up 15%. On the currency markets at the moment, the pound stands unchanged at $1.48 and three quarters, but it's down a quarter of a pfennig at £2.54.
At the sports desk, Dominic Allen.
The world governing body of football, FIFA, has announced some more changes to the traditional format for the first-round matches in next year's World Cup finals. Among them, winning teams in the league stage will get 3 points rather than two. Bradford Northern, last year's beaten finalists, stand between London Crusaders and a place in the semi-finals of Rugby League's Regal Trophy. Last night, Northern beat Halifax 16-8 in their much-postponed third-round tie at the Odsall Stadium. Later this morning in Port Elizabeth, Martin Bickner will have a scan to determine the seriousness of his rib injury. It's thought he may have to fly home from the England A-team tour of South Africa. And there's an injury worry, too, over Alan Iggleston, who's in Portugal with the senior team preparing for next month's tour of West Indies. He strained a muscle in his side bowling in a practice match yesterday, and he's been told to rest until the new year. The South African golfer Ernie Els has a one-stroke lead going into the second round of the Johnny Walker World Championship in Jamaica after a 5-under-par opening round of 66. Colin Montgomery is one stroke behind in joint second place alongside the American Larry Mize. Gordon Brand Jr. and Nick Faldo are four strokes off the lead. Today's racing is at Uttoxeter, Catterick and Market Rasen.
Still to come in this bulletin, London's weather.
QE, JD, meet Walter Beagle, the world's most accident-prone man.
Delighted to be working with you.
Oops, clumsy. Who better than Walter to go on TV and announce that Vauxhall Corsas and Astras now come with 1 year's free insurance, Jiddy?
An interesting idea, Atkins, but sadly unworkable.
Why?
Mr. Beagle has just fallen out of the window.
He seems okay, Jiddy. Thank goodness your car broke his fall.
What?
Vauxhall Corsa and Astra, now with 1 year's free insurance.
Offer excludes the Astra GSI, subject to age, usage, driver status restrictions and registration by 31st January 1994.
LBC's forecast now. Here's Isabel Lang.
Well, not a very pleasant morning ahead of us. In fact, there's going to be a lot of cloud around across London and quite a bit of rain in places as well. Most of the rain will be to the south of the Thames, though, where it may turn a bit misty and also quite murky, especially over the North Downs. This afternoon, well, I think the rain will gradually die out as it moves away northeastwards, and the weather's going to start to warm up. In fact, our top temperatures today will be around evening time when they'll reach a high of around 11 degrees, that's 52 Fahrenheit. Tonight, staying very mild, but becoming breezy with a freshening southwest wind. Lowest temperatures down to about 8 in the city. The weekend, staying mild and unsettled. That's it from me, Isabel Lang at the Weather Centre.
A very good morning to you. This is Bram Wolf over the DHL London Lookout helicopter. Streatham Hill, just had a good look at that one. There was an accident there. All clear now and everything is moving quite nicely. West Hill, about three-quarters of the way back up into the Wandsworth one-way system. About three-quarters of the way back up the hill there, going into town. The A40 seems to be moving reasonably well still. It's almost back from Acton to the gyratory system, but quite normal for this time of the morning. And the A4 from North End Road, right back just past the Hogarth roundabout now, that is building as the morning goes on. And the Blackwall Tunnel northbound, that's over the Woolwich flyover, back to normal again. This is Brian Morphy, London Lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express.
This Christmas, why don't you try something different? A scenic flight over London in your own private aircraft. Experience the trip of a lifetime. Call SFC now on 081 504 3000. Fly high with SFC.
Good morning, this is Mike Carlton, Friday, December 17, and this is the witching hour, if you like, the final 60 minutes, where we proceed as normal for the first 30 minutes or so. But I thought after 8.30, break the rule of a lifetime, all that sort of stuff, and you might like to have a bit of a chat on the open line, the talkback bit. You can ring up and say goodbye, you can ring up and say good riddance, too, if you like, we're Catholic about this. Or you could indeed take the third option, which is to turn off and totally ignore the whole self-indulgent thing. But we'll see what happens. They've actually sent me in a glass of champagne, which is very nice. If Enid had one of those every morning, think what might have happened. The bubbles get up your nose, particularly this time of the morning. Ten past 8 o'clock, Northern Ireland. It seems to be now the waiting game, doesn't it? We have the Downing Street Declaration, and now everyone is awaiting the response of the terrorists, and most crucially, of course, the response of Sinn Féin and the IRA. We have had those two bombs yesterday on the railway tracks in Surrey. Callously placed, they could have killed a great many people if they'd not been discovered. Contrast that, if you like, with the statement from Gerry Adams yesterday that he is committed to peace, unquote. Still, many people on both sides are encouraged that Sinn Féin has not rejected the peace proposals out of hand, and that is seen as at least a good sign. We may have an answer over the weekend, perhaps early next week. At Westminster, most MPs continue to give their blessing to the Anglo-Irish Agreement, and the new peace initiative, that is. But as Peter Russell reports, not everybody. John Major was forced to fend off one attack on its contents from a former friend and colleague yesterday.
During Prime Minister's question time, a sour note was struck over the Anglo-Irish Downing Street Declaration. It came from Norman Lamont, the Chancellor sacked by Mr Major.
Does my right honourable friend recall his admirable speech at the Conservative Party conference in which he said that the union between Ulster and Britain was of immense importance to the Conservative Party, echoing his comment in the election that he stood with passion and commitment for the unity of this country? Is my right honourable friend aware that that stands a little oddly beside the statement that this country has no strategic interest in Northern Ireland? Will my right honourable friend therefore declare today that he believes in the union, that he wants it to persist, and that he believes that it has been in the interests of the people of both countries?
The Prime Minister replied to his old friend, now turned sparring partner, that there was no contradiction.
I don't believe that it stands remotely oddly with the joint declaration that I set out before the House yesterday. That joint declaration reaffirmed in unmistakable terms the commitment that we have consistently given to the people of Northern Ireland and that I reaffirm again now.
Later, the leader of the SDLP, John Hume, attacked Mr Lamont for pursuing a personal vendetta.
I've just been listening to Mr Norman Lamont, who in the past 20 years hasn't opened his mouth about Northern Ireland. But now, because he has personal bitterness with the Prime Minister, he decides to play party politics with it. And to do it at this very sensitive time is highly irresponsible, because he doesn't give tuppence about Northern Ireland, as he has shown over the past 20 years.
Meanwhile, the unionists have welcomed a decision by the government to recommend the setting up of an all-party committee on Northern Ireland. The Commons Procedural Committee had recommended one three times in the past. The leader of the Commons, Tony Newton, made the announcement.
Having regard to the report's conclusions, the government has decided to embark on consultations with other parties on the basis that the time for a Northern Ireland Select Committee has now come. The House will be made aware of the outcome of those consultations in due course. In the meantime, I'm sure the House will welcome this intention to increase parliamentary accountability for the affairs of Northern Ireland.
The government insisted this was not a reward to the Ulster Unionists for their support earlier this year in the crucial Maastricht debate, when Mr Major's slim Commons majority looked like being squeezed out of existence because of Tory rebellions. Ulster Unionist William Ross says it's welcome news because the committee will be an important watchdog on Northern Ireland affairs.
The fact that there's no democracy in Northern Ireland, that there's no way we've been able to ask questions of ministers, and if we'd had a select committee, I think we'd have been asking a lot of questions about their tie-up with the IRA and their contacts with IRA a lot sooner and in greater depth than it was possible to do under the existing circumstances.
William Ross, MP there. Now another look from politics, the political point of view, from the SDLP and their MP for West Belfast, Dr. Joe Hendren. Morning.
Yes, good morning.
Is this the waiting game, really, we're playing now, is it?
Yes, I think that's fairly accurate. I think there's inevitable sort of posturing by Sinn Féin. No matter what was in a joint statement, there was no way that they were going to say, hallelujah, this is it, and sort of give give a bonus thing to the two prime ministers. I honestly believe that they will call a ceasefire, call a cessation of violence.
Got to be more than a ceasefire, hasn't it?
No, a total cessation of violence, but they will milk the thing in terms of publicity. They've appointed 30 people and they're going to go over it, and then they'll have a big press conference, you know, all of that there. But I think that they want to stop, and they know that in terms of getting off hooks, they will not have another opportunity quite like this.
Is there likely to be division in the IRA and Sinn Féin between the hawks and the doves,
yes,
if you like?
That possibility is there, but they are a fairly disciplined organisation, and I'm one who has been opposed to them all my life, but they are fairly disciplined, and I would say that when they make a decision, if they make a decision to stop, like that is it, it's unlikely that there would be breakaway people. If there was, it would be very, very small, and they would be so ostracised that it would be ineffectual.
Right. Now, what are the unionist terrorists? Not much emphasis is placed on them, but they're required to lay down their arms too, aren't they?
Very, very much so. The loyalist prime ministers, as you know, have killed more people this year than the IRA have. That's extremely important. The loyalist prime ministers have said, of course, that they will stop their violence if the provisional IRA stop. So we just hope that both of them will stop. And, of course, both have a lot of arms and guns and things. So the collection of those, well, I suppose that's for again. There's not much point in saying hand them over now, because that's just not going to happen.
Well, you'd never know if they had anyway. Obviously, there'll be caches kept somewhere by everybody, won't they?
That's right, absolutely.
But are you optimistic as we enter this weekend that we may come out next week with, I suppose, a response from both sides?
I feel optimistic that the IRA will stop. I know, factually, that the prisoners, the Republican prisoners, and indeed, for that matter, the Loyalist prisoners, they want out and their families want them home. And they all know that the war or battle, call it what you like, was not getting them anywhere. I think that within the next couple of weeks, we'll have peace. I think you will have the peace over Christmas anyway.
Interesting point you make there. Will the IRA demand the release of prisoners in the jails?
Well, one of them has been saying that already. they will be obliged to speak very strongly on that subject. But already the Prime Minister has already said there shall be no amnesty. But I'm sure that, and it will be explained to them. I mean, as you know, the government has been in contact with them anyway all along, and no doubt those contacts will remain. I have no doubt that they will be told that, look, after sort of 6 months, 9 months, total peace and all, that sentences will be drastically cut down, and there will be all sorts of things like that. Those with shorter sentences will be let out. I'm sure that will happen in both communities.
Thanks very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Joe Hendren, SDLP, Member of Parliament for West Belfast. It's 18 past 8 o'clock.
You've gone to Lancaster Bow and finally got the car of your dreams. But there's still one question which haunts you. Dad, can I borrow the Mercedes?
At some computer stores, it's easy to lose your way.
Compaq, you're going the wrong way. Left, then right. No, mind the cardboard boxes.
Contura notebooks. We are lost, aren't we?
Talk to Tempo for the computer advice you need. At Tempo, we've over 1,000 PCs and add-ons, including Compaq, and we'll help you through the computer maze.
Printers? Now, if I was looking for printers, I wouldn't have started here.
Computer supercentres at Tempo. Barking, Chingford, Croydon, Gravesend, Harlow, Staples Corner, Stevenage, Thurrock, and now New Oxford Street, with interest-free credit subject to status. Call 081-974-8606 for written quotations. Tempo. High technology brought down to earth.
I can't wait till he has his own. Lancaster Bow Mercedes, only a mile and a half from the city. 081-983-4444.
LBC, 19 past 8 o'clock. DHL London Lookout coming up in just a minute, I think. Small problem there, we'll get to that in a minute. The whole thing's falling apart. It's a champagne, you see, really. Let's continue with another story. Where we hear today that angry parents are driving teachers to breaking point by making nasty, unpleasant, often false allegations about them. According to claims by the National Association of Head Teachers, parents are, and indeed children are claiming child abuse and using that as a weapon against school staff, and in some cases wrecking lives and careers. The NAHT says many parents and children make up allegations of child abuse to get back at teachers they don't like. In our radio car, the General Secretary of the Association of Head Teachers, David Hart. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this very common?
Yes, it's quite common. It's certainly increased tremendously in the last couple of years.
Well, with all the publicity given to child abuse and so on.
Yeah, since the Children Act and the scandals we've seen across the country where there has been child abuse and we've had inquiries, I'm certainly not calling for any reduction in the rights of parents or pupils. Every complaint has to be investigated. You can't afford to ignore any complaint at all. What worries me is a pendulum has swung too far in the direction of the accuser against the accused, and we're having members suspended.
And are these head teachers or across...
Yes, head teachers and deputy head teachers who we represent. We've had 20 cases in the northwest of England in the last 2 years. We've had nearly 10 cases in Kent alone in the last couple of years. So it's quite nationwide. And the majority of them are unfounded, clearly unfounded, should never have been brought.
So they're quite malicious, are they?
Oh, yes, I think some of them are. Not all of them, but have been cases where our members have been guilty and they must be punished. There's no doubt about that at all. I want to see less draconian measures taken against the teachers.
Well, it's difficult, though.
In the first stages, I don't want them to be told that they're guilty before they've been proved innocent, in effect.
It is difficult, though, isn't it, if you have this very serious allegation, malicious or not, what do you do? Can you leave that teacher in the classroom?
Well, that's the key point. I believe myself that that you can prevent suspension in the first instance. I do believe that you can carry out investigations into the complaint without having to take the dire necessity of suspending, because once you've suspended, it doesn't matter whether the teacher is cleared or not. There's always a question mark hanging over that teacher.
The stain remains.
The stain remains as a damage to career, and I've even got cases where we've had inquiries taken by the governors, by the LEA, and even by the Secretary of State as to whether that head or deputy is fit to teach in the future, and they don't even accept sometimes an acquittal in the criminal courts as proof of innocence. Now, we really are reaching a fairly critical stage if that's happening.
Indeed. Mr. Hart, thanks very much.
Thank you.
David Hart from the National Association of Head Teachers. Worrying development there. It's 22 past 8 o'clock.
Welcome. You join us for the 4:30 from Stoke Newington to Victoria. And they're off. A great start out of the garage. Number 73, Routemaster, going really well. Here comes the first hurdle. Not too big, but still tricky. It's known as the Allegro. Yes, he's managed to clear that without too much trouble, but we're coming up to delivery van. Quite an obstacle, this. A 20-footer. Oh, and Routemaster comes to a complete stop. All the riders are out of their seats in frustration. He's had to go right round. Lost a lot of time there, but he's picking up well as he enters the bus lane. It looks like a clear path all the way home. That's a great finish. A valiant attempt, considering the odds. Perhaps next time the others won't be so blinkered. And here
if you park at a bus stop, you're a handicap to London. London's buses. Get on board.
If you haven't bought your decorations yet, then you're in luck. Because at Texas Now, you'll find 25% off all Christmas decorations. Choose from a glittering selection, including tree lights and artificial trees, decorations and baubles, crackers and wrapping paper. And with discounts of 25% deducted at the checkout, you'll have to be quick to grab a bargain while stocks last. So pop into Texas Now and save yourself a small fortune.
23 minutes... oh, pardon me. It's the champagne bubbles again, and someone has also provided some smoked salmon and croissants, which is even nicer, Fred, is it not?
It has a certain frisson about it.
It has a certain frisson. Does indeed. Here's the DHL London Lookout. Wolf?
You find me on the M11 northbound. One truck's gone into the back of another truck, driving too close and too fast, the usual old story. One truck is in the field, the other truck is sort of half on the motorway. We've only got one lane northbound, and the queue is going back about, 500 yards at the moment, but that's going to get worse before it gets better. But just because it's your last morning, we've got the prize of the morning for you.
What's that? An over-height vehicle.
We have an over-height, yes.
In the Blackwall Tunnel.
In the Blackwall Tunnel. It's wonderful stuff. Oh, and the police are giving him absolute... Well, you know what I mean. It begins with an S. And they really are having a go at him.
Stick.
It's great. Yes.
Stick, you mean.
Yes, absolute stick out there. It's absolutely wonderful. So we've now got a queue, which is just going back over the Woolwich flyover. That should sort itself out once they get rid of it. But anyway, we thought it would be a nice celebratory way to
and
say goodbye.
Is.
An overhyped vehicle. This is Brian Wolfe, London Lookout, delivered by DHL. Well, we're not expect.
Done the champagne himself, I think.
Yeah, I know. He's been drinking the aviation fuel again. Don't strike a match while he takes a deep breath. M25 clockwise approaching junction 3, the junction of the M20. Earlier on, there was a broken down heavy goods vehicle in the roadworks there, and that wasn't much fun for anybody. Also, I understand one lane on the QE2 bridge is now closed for some work going on at the present. Hayes Lane, just a Wickham Road. Earlier on, Beckenham, there was an earlier accident. Wasn't causing too many problems, but I understand the city on the eastern side especially is still rather choked up because of extended roadworks. It should have finished about 10 to 6 this morning. Carried on much longer. later into the early AM peak. On the Underground, they've had a very good morning. No major problems to report there. But, of course, Brookwood, the services on Network South East from the South West and Solent, still heavily affected by the problems at Brookwood. And that means a number of changes to services. Just very briefly, Portsmouth, Hazelmere and Guildford services, that's normal. But Portsmouth, Waterloo via Farnham and Eastleigh, terminating at Basingstoke and Farnborough. Traffic and trains every 10 minutes.
Thank you very much. 25 past 8.
If you spend time caring for an elderly or infirm friend, why not give yourself a break over Christmas? Let Bupa Alexandra take care of someone you love. Call 0634 687 166.
From the company who brought you a Mercedes-Benz for under £260 per month, a new Mercedes-Benz estate for just £399 per month. From J.R. Taggart, Mercedes-Benz in Watford. The Mercedes-Benz 200 TE. Cash price £23,800. Deposit £4,000. 13.9% APR. 36 monthly payments over 3 years. Written details on request from J.R. Taggart. Pinner Road, Watford. J.R. Taggart. Mercedes-Benz. Watford. 242 243.
26 minutes past 8 o'clock. The oldest profession may have been good enough for Mary Magdalene, perhaps, but it certainly isn't for the Vicar of St. Augustine's in Queensgate. Cheeky prostitutes have been extending their advertising from phone boxes and leaving their calling cards in his church, of all things. You know, the explicit sort of stuff, Miss Busty specialises in bondage, phone 123456, etc. The Reverend Ken Hewitt has asked them please to stop, and Father Hewitt's on the line. Good morning.
Morning.
This is going a bit far, isn't it?
We are not immune to the sort of things that go on in this area, and I'm more concerned with the inconvenience caused to the people who telephone. You know, the sort of person who's in the kiosk and somebody comes along, excuse me, I'll put these cards up while you're telephoning, you know, that sort of thing.
But are they actually putting them up on the church notice board or something?
Yes, in the chapel that's open for private prayer, yes.
Are they?
Yeah, well, it's happened 3 times, and it is inconvenient removing it, but then British Telecom have to remove them every day, so... You know, we're not immune to the problems of this world.
No, apparently not. What do you do?
I just remove them and throw them in the dustbin.
Hmm? You don't think any parishioners might have taken the opportunity to make a phone call?
I shouldn't have thought so. What interests me is that a good proportion of them, the phone numbers are local ones, South Kensington. You know, people say what a lovely area South Kensington is, but they really don't know it.
Not immune from the wages of sin there either.
No, not at all.
You haven't thought of phoning up yourself to offer them counselling, salvation and a little Christian care?
I haven't, actually, no. I suppose if they wanted help, I'd probably be able to direct them in the right to the right people who would be able to give that specialised counselling. I'm rather a GP rather than a specialist.
I see what you mean. So please don't leave the cards in the church anymore.
Yeah, thanks very much for putting that out.
That's all right. No, it's a pain.
It's usually a bunch of about people in their late teens who go around, make a living, you know, taking these cards around and put them around in all the telephone kiosks anywhere from here to Earls Court and no doubt many other parts of London as well. That's how they get their living.
But SW7's a worry, I grant you.
It is, yes. We have our problems here.
Mm.
Four armed robberies in the last year and within a quarter of a mile, sort of thing, you know.
It's a thing you are. All right, well, I hope our appeal will not fall on deaf ears.
OK, thanks very much.
Thanks for talking
to us. OK, bye.
Bye-bye. The Reverend Ken Hewitt of St. Augustine's Queensgate, of all places. Well, it's really a story of priests and prostitutes, isn't it, where they've been leaving their little calling cards in the church. Perhaps he should leave his calling card in the phone box. For our communion, evensong, etc., call this number. It's 29 minutes past 8 o'clock. Mr. Husker.
Trouble is, in the strange world we live in, it would be misunderstood. Even worse.
I suppose you're right, yes.
Well, I'm looking around the motorways. The M25 clockwise approaching junction 3, the M20 junction with the M25, a broken down heavy goods vehicle. That's still causing delays. I understand it's now been partially removed. If you're going north on the M11 between junctions 5 to 6 through Loughton up towards the M25 junction, a couple of vehicles involved in an accident northbound causing long delays as well. Around the city, rather slow going because of these overrunning roadworks there. That caused a number of problems around Leadenhall Street, Fenchurch Street, right the way back to Aldgate Pump. And the A13 coming into town, rather slow going as well. The Blackwall Tunnel Southern approach. approach about normal for this time of the morning, and I understand the tidal flow has gone in again, and that may ease a few problems there. On British Rail, Brookwood, services via Brookwood will be disrupted until noon. Portsmouth to Waterloo via Farnham Eastleigh terminate at Basingstoke and Farnborough. Services from Bournemouth and Southampton diverted or terminate at Basingstoke. Exeter, Salisbury, Andover terminate at Basingstoke, but two extra trains run to Paddington. And there is a shuttle service between Reading, Guildford and Basingstoke. Traffic and trains every 10 minutes.
Thank you, sir. 8:30 news is next. We might have a word after that.
LBC News Talk 97.3. News.
It's 8:30. This is Jonathan Staples. A Conservative MP says the IRA's double bomb attack on a railway line in Surrey proves they can't be trusted. David Wilshire, a critic of the Downing Street Declaration for Peace, says it's not possible to do business with terrorists. But Liberal Democrat leader Paddy Ashdown is insisting there's now a great opportunity for a settlement, and he's urging the people of Northern Ireland to grasp it.
This is a moment when, if peace is to survive in Ireland, it's the will of the majority that has to count. And I think the right role for politicians and people alike is to ensure that this, which is the first building block towards a more comprehensive peace, or the possibility of a more comprehensive peace, has got to receive their support.